Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of sparking revival. Committed to spreading the gospel, this is your Kingdom Crossroads podcast. And now, your host, T.S. Wright. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I am your host, T.S. Wright, and I'm so glad you could join us today. Before we dive into today's episode, if you haven't already, please take a moment to follow or subscribe and give us a like. This ensures you won't miss out on any of our future episodes, and your likes help us boost our visibility. Thank you for being part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Have you ever spotted someone hiking a trail with a coffee mug in one hand and a dog leash in the other? Yep, that's probably Kim Lingeling, who is joining us today on the show. Kim's a multi-published author, podcast host, and all-around champion of hope and real talk. She's the voice behind the Let Fear Bounce podcast, where she shares stories that remind you hope is real, kindness matters, and you're never alone, even on the rough days. So, Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
All right. Well, Kim, let's just dive right in. So, tell us a little bit about yourself to help our listeners here just understand your story.
Well, let's see here. When I was working outside of the home, my background is sales and marketing. So I did that for about 25 years. And then the world changed in 2020. And you have to say it was drama, because it was drama then. The world changed. And I lost my job along with millions and millions of others. And so I decided, you know what? I don't want to send out my resume. And I don't want to work for someone that's less than half my age. So, and that's just being honest. So I thought, you know what? I'll ask myself three questions. What are you good at? What are you passionate about? And what is it that you really want to do? And so I let myself be mad for 24 hours. And I did that very well, by the way. Angry at the world for 24 hours. Sure. And then God said, pull up your big girl panties, Kim. Come on, you've got this. So I asked myself those three questions, and I said, you know, well, I like talking to people. I love building relationships, and I love writing. And I'm like, I think I'll look into this podcast thing. So that's how Let Fear Bounce started. I had no clue what I was doing. I sat down, Googled, searched it for like 2 hours, and then recorded my first episode. Was it good? No, it wasn't. But I did it. And 5 years later, I'm still rolling with that on Let Fear Bounce. And then I just decided to start writing. And since then, I've published, self-published a few books, a couple anthologies, 5 or 6 anthologies, and a couple of books. And I have a couple another books in the works right now, sitting, they're simmering. I've got them basically both of them written, but they're kind of simmering right now, waiting for that nudge that I get to do the go ahead to tweak them the way they need to be tweaked. I'm not rushing it, and I haven't given myself a deadline because these two books to me are very important, and I think that they need to be done the right way. So that's, you know, a little bit of what I've been doing the last 5 years. I'm a veteran. I do live with PTSD, and one of the books that I have written, and it's simmering right now, is all around PTSD from my perspective, from someone who lives with it, not a doctor's perspective or a psychologist's perspective. It's from the person who's living with it perspective. And I've not ever seen a book like that. They might be out there. They probably are. But I thought, and also from a female perspective, which is a little different too. And my PTSD comes from MST in the military, which is military sexual assault. Or military sexual trauma. And so I have not seen books on that, living with PTSD from that specific experience. Nothing graphic, nothing detailed, but it's just living with PTSD and very practical things on, you know, how you can get through those tough days, those dark days, and how faith can bring you through.
Amen.
And even on those dark days where it feels like you've blocked the world out, you can still look up and see a spark of light, just that little glimmer, and you can still hear those whispers if you pay attention. And that's just a little bit about me.
All right. Well, you know, I think I like the fact that how you just go right back to the Lord, you know, that he's the one that can help you get through each of those pieces, even in the worst of situations. The fact that the Lord can lead you through that is just, I think that shows the power of God in any circumstance. And I think sharing that story and giving other people hope that is there for you, no matter what your situation is, just, I love those type of stories. And I think I'm glad you're here to share that with us. So
well, thank you.
Let's dive in here with a question. So you talk a lot about the ripple effect of kindness. Can you share a moment when a small act made a surprisingly big impact, either for you or someone else?
I can share one that happened to me.
Okay.
Years ago, it was 15 years after I got out of the military and had carried what I'd went through on my own.
Sure.
Didn't share it with anybody, stuffed it way down because I'm a veteran, I'm strong, I'm fine, until I wasn't. And I will preface all this with, I didn't grow up in the church. I'd never read a Bible. And I had told myself, there is no God. Because if there was, what the heck just happened to me? If there was, why do I feel so horrible all the time? I was angry, angry, angry at something I didn't believe in. Think about that. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No.
But I was. So God was not in my life at that time. But thankfully, brother veterans were. And I found myself 15 years afterwards, really, really, really at a dark spot. Many other things in my life had all of a sudden just crumbled everything. You know, I'd lost my grandmother. A dear, dear friend of mine had taken his own life. And I was going through a divorce. And it was all within 3 months. It was just boom, boom, boom. And it brought me to my knees. I couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, was having flashbacks, nightmares, panic attacks, super anxiety. It was just, I was a walking ball of mess and hating God the whole way through, even though I didn't believe in him.
Yeah.
And one day, my veteran brothers, they're actually combat Vietnam vets. They approached me and said, and they called me kid because I'm 20 years younger than them. They said, hey kid, we don't know what's going on with you, but we recognize the symptoms. And if you don't get to the VA and talk to somebody, we will take you kicking and screaming. And I used very unpleasant language with them that I won't share. I'm like, bleep, bleep, bleep. I'm fine. I don't need your help. Well, leave me alone. And they said, no, not going to happen. And can't even remember if it was a week or a few days later. I was down at the post. We were all doing something. And I was asked to be there at the specific time. So I'm like, all right, here, we're going to do this. We're going to be helping out another veteran. They did take me to the VA, kicking and screaming. And you know,
did your feet ever hit the ground?
No, not really. And got there and was so angry. Oh, so angry. And not using nice words with them. And went to this first counseling session and told the counselor at the time, I have nothing to say to you. And he's like, okay, we'll sit here and stare at each other. And we did for an hour. And then those veterans of mine took me back again the next week and the week after that and the week after that. I kept going. And I will be forever thankful for that because they were put on my path, I know, looking back now, by God.
Amen.
And even though, you know, I mean, it's veterans. We talk crap to each other, you know. And the way, but it was done exactly how I needed it to be done. And God saw that. Amen. And I can look back now and say that. At that time, that was not a thought, you know. Right. But that's a tremendous act of kindness, I think. And it pulled me out of, I hate to say the pit because it seems like that's used so much. But that's where I felt like I was.
Sure.
Down in this super dark pit. And they pulled me out kicking and screaming, and I will be forever thankful that they did and forever thankful that God chose those specific veterans. Amen. To put in my path.
Well, it's funny how God, sometimes he's got different ways of communicating with us. And one of the ways can be through other people. And if we won't listen, he's knocking on that door and he knocks louder and louder. And sometimes he has to come busting through, and that means other people are coming with him, baby. So
that's right. Yeah, that's what I call. That's what I call. I said, you know, if he's knocking and you're not listening with me, sometimes he just busts out the 2x4.
Yep, that's right. Exactly. You know, and I, on a serious note, we all need accountability. I mean, we have to. You've got to have accountability. You cannot do this. We're not supposed to be islands. All right, and that's right. And I think that's so important. And the fact that those guys saw that and were, you know, they held you accountable to what was going on inside you and made sure that you got that dealt with, whether you liked it or not. But they, you know, they were like, no, you're going to deal with this. We've dealt with it. Now you're going to deal with it. Yeah. And that's just the way it's going
to
be. So,
you know, they're my brothers to this day. We're family, you know?
Amen. Yeah. And that, you know, I think that just shows the level of, the level that God will go to and what he'll do to reach you if he has to. And so, you know, one of the things, and this is probably not a question that, this isn't a question you and I covered, but I think you'll be able to relate to this and speak to it. You know, I do talk about spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I bring up time to time in messaging, and I'm actually going to give, when I'm on the TV program at some point here, we're going to talk about some spiritual warfare. But PTSD, and I've told you I've taught about PTSD before, talk about how the enemy can use PTSD to run you in a complete opposite direction of God and to use that as a barrier between you and God.
Wow. You know, and I call him the D-man.
Yeah.
That's what I call him. And I'm like, boy, he actually, on bad days, I'll be like, I think I just opened up the back door and just said, come on in, yeah. You know, and that's how those days begin for me on those tough days when it's like, I just opened up the back door and said, oh, there you are again, D-man, come on in, you know? And for me, oh gosh, he's very good at what he does. Yep. And I apologize.
No, it's okay.
I've had a rough few days, actually, and he's been riding me hard. In those days, sometimes he can be louder than God's whispers.
Yep.
And your brain and your mind is just working so hard to maintain. And you get that point where, you know, you start listening and hearing, you know, Who do you think you are? You just got done on your podcast talking about hope and kindness and love. Really, Kim? Really? Look at you. You're a mess. Look what you've went through. That's disgusting. That's filthy. It's dirty. You're nothing. You are worthless. The D-man is so good at doing that. Yeah. And there are days where it's like, you know better than to listen. I know better than to listen. But there are days where it's hard. Maybe I didn't sleep very well the night before because I was having, nightmares. So I'm really tired. And it's like he just slithers on in. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh gosh, there you are again.
Yeah.
Great. And I have to remind myself, I have to remind myself at times, and I have to do it out loud. I can't just think it or whisper it. I have to do it out loud and say, you know what, D-man, you're not welcome here because this house is covered by Jesus, period.
Amen.
Jesus lives here. He lives in me. You're out. Get out. And when I say it out loud, and sometimes I'm saying it in anger, and sometimes I'm not saying it in beautiful, pretty language, but without fail, when I do that, that heaviness just kind of dissipates.
Amen.
And I can finally go, okay, all right, we got this, Kim. We're all right. We got this. We kicked them out again. That is a little more real than I planned on being this morning. So there you have it.
Amen. So, one of the things that sometimes when, and this is just something I personally do, and something you listeners can hear is when you feel that kind of attack about your character, about your, saying you get those sensations of you're worthless and all this stuff, you know what I do? I go to Acts 20:24. I go to Philippians chapter 2. I consider my life of no value except to testify to the good news of God's grace. And I'll go right back to the enemy. I'll say, the Bible tells me I do fall short of the glory of God. So you know what? About my humanity, you might be correct, but there's one problem. I have a God that's bigger than you. And then I just cast him out with the blood of Jesus. And he cannot stand in the blood of Jesus.
Right.
The blood of Jesus eradicates any movement of his. I cancel his assignments, and I just cast him out. So that way, guess what? I don't get in a fight with him. I don't get in an argument with him. I don't let him penetrate my mind. I don't let him penetrate my position. But it's taken me a long time. It took me time to learn that strategy. And once I figured that Acts 20:24 is the strategy, and I realized that going right after him with the word of God. And that helped me anytime I feel, I've felt inadequate or I feel that attack coming on of the worthless, what I call the worthless attack,
Yeah.
So that's just something, and I'm just expressing that to the listeners. So that's something you can do to the enemy because, number one, you're not arguing with him. And number two, you're just using the blood of Jesus. You can't stay here. You're gone. Here's the door. You better leave or the blood of Jesus. God's going to send some angel down here after I've claimed the blood of Jesus to take care of your problem.
Right.
It's not going to be, and you ain't going to be staying here. So,
yeah. The scripture I turn to is Isaiah 40:31.
Amen.
That's the one that actually brought me to God and got me to go to church.
Amen.
And
for our listeners,
I have it
memorized
on my wall right now. So,
you have it memorized, right?
Excuse me?
You have it memorized, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell our listeners.
Okay, Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
Amen.
Those are so powerful to me.
Amen.
Those words, so powerful. And like you had mentioned, you don't argue with the D-man or anything like that. I have found myself saying at times, I know who wins and it's not you.
Exactly. Amen. Hey, all we got to do is start going back to the end of the book of Revelation. We know where this is going.
That's right. That's right.
We know where this is going, baby. That's awesome. So I love it. Now our listeners have gotten two Bible verses they can memorize.
See, there you go. Hope they wrote them down. Put them on a sticky note.
So, hey, Acts 20:24. And to Kim, what's the other one?
Isaiah 40:31.
There we go. Isaiah 40:31. So, all right. Well, let's keep this show going. But I hope that's been a good nugget for everybody, because I'm going to use this word again. So what inspired you to start handing out physical nuggets of hope, and how have people responded to them?
This has been one of the most amazing journeys the last couple of years. And this is what it's actual nuggets of hope. I had the word hope was showing up everywhere. And I was like, all right, that's God nudging me to do something. But I was like, I don't know what it is you want me to do. Then I remembered I had like a small deck of cards from a networking event when I was working outside the home. And they were affirmations like, you're awesome, you know, stuff like that. And so I thought, well, I'll just keep those in my purse when I'm out running errands. I'll just drop them places. So I did. I was in a grocery store one day, like a Walmart type place, and I dropped some in with the cookies. I put one in a back pocket of a pair of jeans. I put one in with the motor oil, and I dropped them off.
The motor oil. I'm loving that.
Well, because you never know who's going to pick it up. So I'm putting them everywhere. And I had six of them, so I thought, all right, that's six nuggets. And that's where the word nugget for me came. I'm like, well, those are little nuggets of hope. And I went, there you go, God, done. And he was like, not yet, kiddo. And so the word kept coming up even more. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I supposed to do? And then I started getting these whispers, because that's how it comes through to me. And I know that when I actually hear those whispers, because it's not all the time. So when I do hear them, it's like, this is what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to question it. Just do it. And so it was like, you are to personally give hope. And I went, oh my goodness, how am I supposed to do that? So I was thinking and praying and got online and found these. And, you know, they're not cheap. And I'm like, and I was not in a good spot at that time. This is the interesting part. I was not at a good spot. It was a rough time for me at that time, mentally, physically, all kinds of stuff going on. And I didn't feel like giving hope to anybody. I didn't feel like being kind. You know, I was like, and so I found these, they came, and I went, all right, well, I'll just take a couple and keep them in my pocket when I'm out running around. And I was in a grocery store, and this is the very first one that I glanced up and saw a lady. She's kind of had her hand on her cart, and she's just staring up at the items on the shelves. Sure. But I knew right away when I saw her, she wasn't seeing the stuff on the shelves. And I went, and I'm very, very empathetic, very empathetic. And I could feel such sadness coming from her. It was like, poof. And I just went, and then I had the whisper, she needs a nugget of hope. And so I reached in my pocket and I had it in my hand. And I recognized her feeling, because I had been in that spot, in that feeling that she was in at that moment, stuck in her tracks in the middle of a store, you know? Wow. And I walked up to her, came up on her side, and just very quietly said, excuse me, ma'am, and held out my hand. And I said, I would love to give you a nugget of hope today. And she turned and looked at me in somewhat of, you know, surprise, but she held out her hand to a total stranger. And I just gently placed it in her hand like this. Yep. And I said, I want to give you a nugget of hope today. I wish you a blessed day. And I turned to walk away, because I'm very sure I'm not supposed to chit chat. I'm not supposed to find out their name or their story. I am just supposed to give this to them. And as I walked away, I heard her say, oh my goodness, you have no idea. Thank you. You have no idea. And I remember just briefly glancing back and kind of smiling, and she was looking down at the nugget. And I finished my shopping, got in my car, put my head on my steering wheel and cried and thought, okay, God, I get it now. I'm supposed to help those, or give hope to those, because I'll recognize it. You're going to help me recognize it, because I was her at one point. And thank you for having me do that, because it's making me feel better. And I've been doing it for almost 2 years now. And the reactions I've gotten have been that. I've had tears. I've had nervous laughter. I've had looks like, who are you, crazy lady? And I've had anger and an older gentleman yelling and swearing at me. And they're all good. It's all good. You know, because the gentleman that was angry, he wasn't angry at me. But he took that nugget and he put it in his pocket. You know? So whether he saw it later that day or the next day or the day after that or the day after that, and then looked down at it one day and went, hope. Huh. You know? So God's pointing out who they're supposed to go to. Because I don't go looking for people to approach, because that would be kind of stalkerish. So I don't do that. I just, you know, I go along my way, and then all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, okay. And approach someone. I approached an older gentleman. He's probably a Vietnam vet. I think he was. He had a ball cap on in the parking lot. I like followed him out of the store to his car because it was so strong. I wasn't even done with my stuff yet. And it was so strong. He needs a nugget of hope. And I'm going, okay. So I followed. I said, excuse me, sir. And he was one that turned and gave me a look like, who are you, crazy lady? And he didn't look happy. And I said, I just want to give you a nugget of hope today, sir. And I hope that you have a blessed day. And he never said a word. He just stood there staring down at the nugget that I gave him in his hand. And I just turned and walked away and ran back to get my cart and finish my shopping.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. You know, a lot of times I don't know. Well, none of them do I know how it happens. I've had hugs before. I had an older lady. I helped her put her groceries in her trunk. And I had such a feeling of sadness from her. I mean, just tremendous sadness. And she was elderly, probably in her 80s. And I pulled out a nugget and said, you know, can I give you a nugget of hope today? And she looked at me and tears just started coming down her cheeks. And she said, you are an angel to me today. Amen. I am thanking God that he put you here. And I went, oh, no, I'm no angel. I'm no angel. And she says, do you mind if I give you a hug? And she gave me such a big hug. And I wasn't planning on giving her a nugget. I was just helping her with her groceries, which is another nugget of a sort, folks. Anything you do like that. But yeah, so that's some of what I've experienced.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think that if you, you know, we just talked about spiritual warfare here just a few minutes ago. And, you know, one of the other ways that we can battle spiritual warfare is simply by sharing a piece of Jesus with everybody. And doing acts of kindness and showing compassion is a way to do that. It is. It's not just sharing the gospel, which we are called to do, by the way, and I'm never going to diminish that part of it. But there's also showing kindness, because sometimes that also opens those doors.
Right.
Or somebody may already know Jesus, but they haven't been feeling Jesus lately. And it reminds them that Jesus is there, and he works with you in many different ways. And I think that's another, you know, to me, that's just another piece of this message that vibe you're giving off to, you know, kind of your ripple effect of kindness. So
absolutely. I tell people I'm just a pebble tosser.
That's it.
Just chucking pebbles, you know, and those ripples are going to land exactly where they're supposed to land. You know,
amen.
I can't change the whole world. I can't. I'm one person.
That's right.
But my small slice of the world, I can make a positive impact in it.
Amen. Amen. I was waiting for one of these stories to turn into, you had that person on your podcast as a personal testimony.
No, because I don't chit chat with them.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, so I never get their names or where they're from or their story or any. I honestly don't think I'm supposed to. I don't feel that I'm supposed to. I feel I'm just supposed to give them that nugget, and that's something they can physically, it's tangible. They can physically see it and hold it. And those people are the ones who maybe need that. I think they do. Because I carry one in my coat. I pretty much have one in every coat pocket that I have. And when I put my hand in it, that's my reminder to myself. Because I don't know, my grandfather used to have a worry stone. Do you remember worry stones?
You know, I think I've heard those. Yeah,
they carry them in their pockets, and they're constantly doing this. You know, and
squeeze ball, the stress ball.
But I had a boss too that always had. He had a very. It was a white polished stone he carried in his pocket, and he called it his worry stone. And I think pretty sure my grandfather had one. So I have this one in all my pockets, and I, you know, whether I'm feeling good or bad or whatever, I will, and I have one on my desk, so I'll sit there and, you know, just have it in my hand. And it's a tangible reminder because you just look at it and it says hope, you know,
Amen.
and we all need it.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, look
Amen.
at the world today. The world needs hope more than ever, and
Oh, absolutely.
it needs kindness more than ever. You know, so you can
Amen.
be kind just by smiling, just by complimenting a stranger. That's one of the funnest little nuggets to give is compliment a stranger and see the smiles that you get back. It's so fun.
Amen. Amen. So, Kim, this has been awesome. And I mean, we could go on and on, and honestly, we could probably record five shows on this. And I would I wished I had that level of time that we could do that. Unfortunately, time marches on, and we have schedules to meet, which is not always kind, but it is what it is. So, but this has been great. But how could somebody get connected to learn more about your ministry or purchase your books, that sort of thing?
The easiest place to find me is on my website. It's kind of like the one-stop shop. It's my name. It's just kimlanglingauthor.com. It's got the books. It's got the podcast on there. It's got what I'm doing, what's coming up. And my dog, Dexter, he is the one who will receive all the emails, and he filters through them and lets me know because he's my office manager, and he's the one that keeps me on track when I need a break, when I need to take a walk, and when I need some water. So he is the one that will let me know that folks are contacting me, but you can find the podcast on Spotify, any of your listening platforms, on YouTube if you want to see our wonderful faces of myself and all my guests. So yeah, website kimlanglingauthor.com. All my books are on Amazon. So yeah, pretty easy.
All right. Well, that is awesome. And unfortunately, we are out of time. So we want to thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We're obviously going to put all this down in the show notes with the link to Kim's website. And so you can purchase her books, listen to her podcast, all those good things. We appreciate you spending your time with us and being part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. If you enjoyed what you heard, we kindly ask that you hit, again, the follow or the subscribe button. Give us a like. Your support always helps us to keep producing this amazing content, sharing these experiences with you, and ensuring we can continue to grow and bring you even more enriching content in the future. On behalf of Kim and myself, this is T.S. Wright. Until next time, go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation. Now let the great harvest begin.